on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, salam. And welcome to this episode of today's special. Dear brothers and sisters, on this episode of today's special, we're going to speak about Islamic Revolution and its achievements. Be with us. Today, Friday, is the 19th of Rajab 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of February 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran for today, chapter Al-An'am, verse 14.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَتَّخِذُ وَلِيًّا فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ
Say, Is it other than Allah I should take as protector, creator of the heavens and earth, while it is He who feeds and is not fed? Say, O Muhammad, indeed, I have been commanded to be the first among you who submit to Allah, and was commanded, do not ever be of the polytheists.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the verse, the Quran denotes that your sustenance is in the authority of Allah. Then in answer to suggestion of who is who invite the Prophet to join the camp of polytheists, the Quran instructs him to say that, besides the command of wisdom, which leads him to rely on the One who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, he also says that the revelation of Allah has instructed him to be the first Muslim who submits himself and never he joins the row of polytheists.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents
today's special.
The topic of this episode is Islamic Revolution and its achievements. Over the past 44 years, Iran has sprung up in all dimensions, one after another. Globally speaking, being among a few countries in the field of science production, nuclear and satellite technology, ranking fourth in the nanotechnology, fifth in cyber power, ninth in access to space, third in converting gas to gasoline, bioethanol production, first in attracting medical tourists in the rain, and having the largest shipbuilding pools in the Middle East all reflect Iran's success in the past four decades. Of course, Iran's huge progress was not to the liking the enemies, and they tried in every possible way to create obstacles, from imposing maximum pressure on Iranian military, economic, and political ways, to assassination of significant military and scientific figures such as General Soleimani. Despite all these efforts, due to wise and courageous leadership, such unlawful actions and threats have changed opportunities for maximum resistance and deterrence.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This is Ali, and we are going to talk about the Islamic Revolution in Iran and its achievements for more than four decades. On the eve of the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the outcome of Iran's uprising against the US-backed rule of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi is a hot topic of discussion among Iranians. We're going to talk about the achievements and successes of the revolution in the past four decades in various sectors. Another achievement of the Islamic Republic is with regard to Quranic teachings. Quranic teachings were promoted in this four decades of the Islamic Revolution. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, many efforts have been made to promote lofty teachings of the Quran across the country. Presently, 11,000 institutions related with Quran are active in cities and villages offering a variety of Quranic teachings to different age groups. Moreover, 35 rounds of international competitions of Quran have been held in Iran in different fields. These competitions are considered the most valid and important Quranic event in the world. Iranian reciters and memorizers of Quran have attained many honors in Quranic contests too. The International Quran Exhibition is another cultural achievement of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Every year in the month of Ramadan, this exhibition attracts many, many enthusiasts from all over the country and abroad. Another achievement of the Islamic Revolution was the increased role of women in the society. The massive presence of the people from all walks of life was an obvious characteristic of the Islamic Revolution. However, the role of women has been very significant and effective in this regard. Being wary of the humiliation imposed by the regime of Shah, women rushed to the field of struggle against the regime once they heard the life-inspiring call of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, women have increasingly taken part in different domains such as politics, culture, economy, sciences, literature, art, and sports. They have been present in every domain to defend the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with
today's special. This is today's special and achievements of the Islamic Revolution in the field of health and wellness. From among them, the growth of medical universities. Before the victory of the revolution, about 7 medical schools were established in universities. But now, there are about 50 medical universities across the country. The number of medical students admitted from about 600 before the victory of the revolution to about 6,000 a year. In 1975, the total number of doctors with medical system cards was about 17,000, while in previous years, about 140,000 doctors were trained in medical universities across the country. In the last 4 decades, the outstanding growth of the number of medical universities in all provinces of the country, especially the deprived provinces, the increase in the number of the graduates of medical sciences, especially women, and the law related to the presence of these graduates in deprived provinces, are among the success of the medical education.
The explosion of light in the modern age of ignorance with the support of Islam. The Islamic Revolution.
Brothers and sisters, now we look at achievements of 4 decades. One of them is Quran teachings promoted. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, many efforts have been made to promote lofty teachings of the Quran across the country. Presently, 11,000 institutions related with Quran are active in cities and villages, offering a variety of Quranic teachings to different age groups. Moreover, 35 rounds of international competitions of Quran have been held in Iran in different fields. These competitions are considered the most valid and important Quranic event in the world. Iranian reciters and memorizers of Quran have attained many honors in Quranic contests, too. The International Quran Exhibition is another cultural achievement of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Now, what is this genuine Islam that Imam is talking about? One of the great contributions of Imam al-Khomeini in the contemporary age is that he reintroduced to us the Islam of the Holy Prophet. That Islam which conquered the East and the West. Today, what happened that the Muslim Ummah, though we are saying that we are following the path of the Holy Prophet, what happened that today this Ummah and this nation has been afflicted with all these tribulations? According to Imam, The source of the fake Islam is not always the Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. And if it is in some cases, then it is that Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet which has been distorted. Whereas when it comes to the genuine Islam, the source of this genuine Islam is the Quran, the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet, the practice of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam through the methodology of ijtihad. The fake Islam, the counterfeit version of Islam, relies on the intellect and reason which is guided by desires and lowly self of a human being. The genuine path of Islam, the genuine path of Islam is intellectually open. It takes into account the different realities of life. The fake Islam and the counterfeit version of Islam is intolerant towards other faiths and beliefs. Whereas the genuine Islam that Imam al-Khomeini believed in was tolerant to different faiths, and not only to different denominations within Islam, but to different religions which are existing today in the world. When it comes to social and political arena, according to Imam al-Khomeini, the counterfeit version of Islam accepts humiliation before the world, the so-called world superpowers. Whereas when it comes to the genuine Islam, it does not allow its followers to accept humiliation, whether it is political humiliation, cultural humiliation, economic humiliation, or social humiliation. The fake version of Islam, the American Islam that Imam says, is indifferent towards oppression and injustice. Whereas the Islam that Imam al-Khomeini introduced to us, it is the Islam which fights and which rises against injustice and oppression.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That is the end of this episode of today's special. We leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanallah.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone, and our heartiest congratulations to you all on yet another anniversary of the glorious victory of the Islamic Revolution, as Iran steps into its 44th year as the role model of popular religious rule for the peoples and countries of the world. We have chosen for you a beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible heir, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, that seems to refer to the father of the Islamic Revolution, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, who changed for good the destiny of the Iranian people. A man from Qom will rise and invite people towards the truth. Around him will gather people like slabs of iron, who will stand firm against strong winds and storms, and will never get tired of war. They know not fear and have trust in Allah. The outcome is for the pious. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very interesting and informative hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. This hadith is about the wisdom behind the diversity of the Prophet's miracles, meaning we know that the Prophets, each of them brought a miracle. From a theological perspective, the reason why the Prophets brought miracles was so that people could affirm their prophethood. For example, a lot of people came in history claiming to be prophets, claiming to be sent by God with a message. Right. So the question arises, how do human beings, how can they distinguish who is telling the truth and who is lying? And there's only one way that this can be affirmed. And that is through a miracle. Because we know God in his infinite wisdom, he wouldn't give a liar who is claiming to be sent by him, but who's not telling the truth. He would not give this power to him, right? Because it would lead people astray, right? So this is a sign that God has given the prophets so that they can, you know, people can affirm their prophethood and be guided to the right path. But a question arises, why is it that the prophets had diverse and various miracles? In this beautiful hadith from Imam Hadi alayhi salam, the Imam alludes to the wisdom and the reason behind this. Imam Hadi alayhi salam said the following in reply to Ibn Sikit's question about the reason for Allah sending Prophet Moses alayhi salam with the staff that turned into a snake, his illuminated hand and magic as a resource, and his sending Prophet Jesus with medicine as a resource, and his sending Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with speech and eloquence. Right, so there's kind of a pattern we see that in these three prophets. These are three of the greatest prophets, ulul azm prophets. Each of them brought a number of different miracles, but we see that most of the miracles of each prophet were similar. For example, the Prophet Moses, a lot of his miracles were kind of inclined towards being magical, whereas the Prophet Jesus, he cured a lot of people from ailments miraculously. And then we know the Prophet Muhammad, you know, the Quran, which is the eternal miracle of the Prophet, is primarily focused on knowledge, speech, eloquence. Imam Hadi said, "Verily, when Allah sent Moses, the trend prevalent among the people of the time was magic. So he brought them something from Allah, the like of which they were incapable of producing, which thwarted their magic, and with which he demonstrated the proof against them. And verily Allah sent Jesus at a time when paralytic diseases were widespread, and people needed medicine. So he brought them something from Allah, the like of which they did not have, and with which he brought life to the dead, cured the blind and the leper with Allah's permission, and demonstrated the proof against them. And verily Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam at an era when the prevalent trend among the people of the time was speech and eloquence. And I think he even said poetry. This is the words of the Rawi. So he brought to them Allah's exhortation and wisdoms, with which he thwarted their words and with which he demonstrated the proof against them. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the wisdom behind the diversity of the Prophet's miracles in the words of Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, welcome to IRIB English Radio. Here again we are with you in another Quranic session. Brother Fawad Haider is here, Brother Hassan Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Ali Nasir, students of Xavier International School. So, we are here with you with another Quranic session. Welcome everyone. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking about Ayah 272 of Surah Al-Baqarah on page 46, okay? Brothers and sisters, please, as you're listening to us, if you have your Quran, hold your Quran, turn to page 46, Ayah 272 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, we all will be listening to the recitation first.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Laysa 'alayka hudahum walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ
All right, now I will be reciting... You will be repeating. All right?
Yes.
Our brothers and sisters also will repeat, will practice with us. Yes. Uh-huh. They will say, yeah, they are saying yes. We'll do so. Of course, they say. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ليس عليك هداهم ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء
ليس عليك هداهم ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء
وما تنفقوا من خير فلأنفسكم
وما تنفقوا من خير فلأنفسكم
وما تنفقون إلا ابتغاء وجه الله
وما تنفقون إلا ابتغاء وجه الله
وما تنفقوا من خير يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون
وما تنفقوا من خير يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون
أحسنتم ليس عليك هداهم ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء It is not up to you to guide them. It means you're not forced to guide them. If you, like Allah Almighty says the Prophet, okay, you guide them. If they do not want this, okay, do not, for example, annoy yourself. Do not, for example, hurt yourself, okay, in order to guide them. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَن يَشَاءَ Instead, rather, it is Allah who guides whomever He wishes. Allah Almighty guides whoever deserves to be guided, okay? Whoever deserves guidance, Allah Almighty will guide them, all right? It depends on our situation, the way we are, okay? If we believe in Allah Almighty, if we deserve to be to receive guidance, of course we'll be guided, okay? But if not, yes, that's clear. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ And whatever wealth you spend, or whatever charity you give, فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ It is for your own benefit, okay? It's for your own benefit. Allah doesn't need it, but you need it. You need it for the Day of judgment. Because Allah Almighty has set a lot of thawab for someone who donates. And if the intention is for Allah Almighty. Next one. وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا بْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ And you do not spend, it means don't donate, okay? Except for the sake of Allah Almighty. Do not spend, but to seek Allah Almighty's pleasure. Okay? وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ And whatever wealth, whatever charity you give, whatever wealth you spend, يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ will be repaid to you. Okay? Will be repaid to you in full. Completely, you will get it back. Allah Almighty will give you in return the best things, better than whatever you spent, okay? وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ And you will not be wronged. A lot of people might think, What if, even if I give this to charity, I will not get anything, okay? I will not get anything in return. We shouldn't think this way, yes? We all know that Allah Almighty will give you in return.
Yes?
If not in this world, for sure in the Day of Judgment. You give 10,000 thuman, it's nothing for you. It's something very simple. Not too much, but whatever Allah Almighty wants to give you in return, that is too much.
Yes.
That can save you from the hellfire, right?
Yes.
In the previous ayah, we said, وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ And it will compensate, it will wash out some of your bad deeds. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ Good deeds, good actions will wash out the bad actions. Okay, charity has such kind of function.
Result.
Yeah, result. Act. It gives you, yeah, such an impact, such a good impact it has. So, make sure, inshallah, whatever you
do whatever you do, give charity, for example, you should have the intention to seek the pleasure of Allah Almighty. And don't think that it will not be back. It will not be given to you back, okay? In return, Allah Almighty wants, will give you a lot more.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض
حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So, brothers and sisters, so many important points are here to mention, but since we don't have much time for the explanation, I want you to refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, okay? And yeah, you will learn a lot about it. We'll move on with the Tajweed rules, important Tajweed rules we'll mention, inshallah. Please, if you are able to take notes, do so and practice. Ali Nasir, Hussein, Hassan, Fawad, let's go to the Tajweed rules. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. Make sure you produce an A sound correctly and also the A sound correctly. With heavy letters, A sound. With light letters, A sound. Heavy letters are like خَا, رَا, صَاد, ضَاد, طَا, ظَا, غَيْن, and قَاف. So whenever they have an alif with them, a fatha with an alif mat, so you have to produce an a sound. خَا, رَا, ضَا, صَا, طَا, ظَا, غَا, قَا, right? But the rest of the letters produce an a sound. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. Don't say هُدَاهُمْ, right? لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Don't say يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Right? Some people recite it like a Persian reading. Don't do so. Okay? It's different. So, هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ. There is an exceptional rule with the letter Ra and the letter Lam. Yes? The letter Lam in the word Allah and Allahumma. Right? You listening, brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Good job. Brothers and sisters, I didn't say you. Brothers and sisters. Yes, they are listening, of course, okay? It's Quranic session now. The letter Lam in the word Allah and Allahumma must be pronounced heavily with an A sound in case we have a Fatha sound or a Dhamma sound before the word. Right? وَلَكِنَّا. We have a fatha, Allah. So the lam in this word, the word Allah, will be pronounced with an A sound. Walakin, read it, say.
Walakin Allah.
Ahsan, heavy sound, with full mouth. So, yahdi mayyasha. The noon is gone. Why?
Idgham.
Idgham, yeah. The rule idgham is applied here. Man yasha, you merge, you join the meme to, yeah, actually noon will be sacrificed, kind of, yeah. It's merged. Man yasha. And also the nasal sound. Don't forget it, Hussein. All right, Ali Nasir, read it. Man yasha. For two counts. Yeah, may, for two counts. Go on.
Yes.
مَنْ يَشَاء.
أحسنتم. مَنْ يَشَاء. قِلَا tells you it's better to stop here. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا. We have mentioned it a lot in the previous ayahs, ayat, okay? وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا إِخْفَى مِنْ خَيْرٍ إِظْهَار. Clearly read the noon. مِنْ خَيْرٍ. And again, رِن, تَنْوِين plus فَى. We have mentioned it a lot. إِخْفَى.
إِخْفَى.
Yeah, إِخْفَى. Hide the sound. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Right? أَنفُسِكُمْ. Again,
إخفاء وما تنفقون again إخفاء إلا ابتغاء إلا ابتغاء skip the a sound إلا إلا ابتغاء yes on ba you have to produce an echoing sound إلا ابتغاء وجه الله وجه الله قلقلة and yes so وما تنفقوا من خير إدغام يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون again وأنتم إخفاء so we mentioned the important tajweed rules it's you who should practice okay practice them well inshallah to recite a very nice recitation with tajweed rules brothers and sisters thank you so much for being with IRIB English Radio inshallah we will be here again with you in the coming sessions stay with us thanks to IRIB English Radio thanks to Sevier International School for cooperations. Thanks to Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir for being with us in this session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. See you inshallah in the coming sessions. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality. It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality. I am Asma. I have the pleasure to be your host. And here with me, I have two very dear guests, Sister Bita and Brother Muzaffar. Both of you, welcome to Back to Reality.
Assalamu alaikum.
My pleasure to be here.
Of course, the pleasure is all in here. Brother Muzaffar, shall we start with you? Please introduce yourself briefly, very much, what you study and...
I'm Muzaffar Haider from the UK. I've studied English literature and now I'm in the Hawza, in the Islamic Seminary.
That's very good. It's a pleasure to have you in here and wish you luck with your studies. You, Sister Bita.
Yes, I'm at your service. I'm Bita and I study medicine at one of the University of Tehran in Iran.
So there, throughout the pandemic, there was a situation in which some of our families, since my dad got the very severe version of the coronavirus. Yeah. Yes. Among our relatives, there were many people who started to give us some suggestions about this herbal medicine that would do some effect. Honestly speaking, I'm a kind of a person who believes that to 50% that could be effective because it could be used as a help, you know, as a tool. It could come to the help of the chemical medicine in order to just soothe and alleviate the pain. And we started using those remedies and suggestions. And to some extent, I think they were effective. And then at that moment, I just started to grow fond of these herbal remedies, home remedies that they use in order to soothe the pains. And even when we were kids, I think since we're living in this country with this rich cultural heritage, then there are so much of things that have been passed down through our grandmothers to our mothers. And then they know a lot of things about, for example, this herb is going to help you reduce that pain or whatever. You know what? So I want to know about your ideas. What do you think of it? Are you against it totally or? So, do you consider that as a way of remedy?
Let me answer this question in this way. You know, I think there is a science of known herbal medication and curing. Okay, we have herbal things in the nature. We have some plants. We have so many things. We can go search, study, and I don't know, work on that. But unfortunately, when it comes to common people, all the people think they're a doctor. I have a lot of problem with that because you know, they make mistakes actually. The dose of cure is so important, even in herbal medication.
Yeah.
Especially in herbal medication, because when it is, I don't know, chemical or something, you can, as a scientist or someone, actually tell people
patients,
you have to, for example, I don't know, drink
eat that dose of
that.
It, yeah.
Okay? But when it comes to herbal medication, they think there is no damage in that. Yeah. If, for example...
And they go for it excessively, like they use a kind of an herb
even
for too much, yeah. Even
you
tea.
Look at me, we drink tea too much. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a problem here because even tea is a herbal medication. Yeah. It will become a disaster in a long time. They want to tell other people to do that too. This is the problem.
So, brother, has it ever been effective for you? Have you ever used one of those herbal remedies?
If I'm going to be honest, I think it's a placebo. I don't think it really helps. I think you're going to get well anyway, because when you're sick, inshallah, Allah is going to cure you.
It's
you know,
not like
your
that.
Would... immune system is going to kick in eventually.
Yeah, but then
right?
Soothing your pain, for example, when you have this throat sore, then nothing is going to help you except some hot herbal remedy.
Honey water will help. You know, I believe in that. If it's going to soothe the pain, I mean, if you've got a wound on your body, then a damp cloth would help you as well. But it can't be compared to modern medicine. It's just ridiculous. What's happened is we've got these two extremes. One extreme says that, you know, modern medicine is entirely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just herbal medicine is the way to go.
Exactly.
And
to live
they just completely
life.
Reject the other side.
Yeah.
The other side is like, no, herbal medicine is completely out of the window. Mm-hmm. And modern medicine, whatever they say, we will do.
Yeah. Eastern people are more into herbal medicine.
Exactly.
I don't. Maybe.
Because
like
Japan, if you consider China. Chinese people, yeah. then
China,
they have
India.
A lot of those remedies as well. Mm-hmm. And they work, of course, just like our remedies,
right.
you know. They work in long terms.
I think so. There's no modern medical cure for asthma.
Yeah.
And they will continuously give you those steroid drugs.
Yeah.
And it will temporarily alleviate the pain. As is the problem with modern medicine, it just cures the symptoms, not the disease
exactly.
itself.
Exactly. The root of the disease.
The
is
problem
not going
is that you divide the modern medicine and also the herbal medicine completely. It's not like that. Even in chemical drugs that we are making for medication, we use these herbs to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many herbs that we have to search and find a formula of the structure of that herbs and then make the formula in the, I don't know, laboratory and so on.
Now,
and this is a chemical drug. So the root of a chemical drug is exactly the herb.
Yeah.
Okay. But the problem is that the dose that you will get from the industrial chemical drug is a bit high. And, you know, it will affect your body in a way that the herbal drug won't actually affect it anymore.
I will have a story to tell you, but let's go for a short
I
break and
agree.
Then we'll be back. Listening to Back to Reality. This is your favorite place where we're talking about some common issues that might happen to every single person. And today we're talking about herbal medicine and, of course, Islamic medicine, because in our Islamic heritage, we also have some recommendations for curing disease and some special remedies, which might be effective for some people and not come to be effective for others. I was actually giving you an example of the thing that you were talking about, the dose of those herbal remedies. I have an aunt, and then she is so much interested in these herbal issues and whatever.
Every family has one of those aunties.
Exactly.
Yeah. And she does it excessively.
Uh-huh.
In a way that is too much, way too much than the normal way of
I know.
Normal way that other people do. Then she has diabetes, and then they have told her, the people, just as Sister Bita was saying, they have told her that cinnamon plus water and honey is going to do wonders for you. Oh, then every single morning, evening, at night, before sleep, she was just drinking cinnamon and water.
We have the same story with my grandmother. Yeah. Exactly, diabetes and the same old
story.
Did
it work?
Her blood pressure went so high in a way that she had to go to doctor.
You know, we have a module on scientific ahadith in my Islamic seminary. And the teacher, who's well-versed in these kinds of sciences, he brought up the subject of Darwe Imam Kazim, which is, you know, you have these herbal medicines which are attributed to the Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah.
And he said, go and do research about it. At most, you can say that it is mansoob to the Imam.
Yeah, otherwise, it's been attributed to them.
It's attributed to the Imam. It's not from the Imam himself. But then what happens is people put their umid, their hope, into these medicines, thinking the Imam himself has said to take it. And when it doesn't work, their iman
exactly.
gets affected.
Faith, yeah.
Their faith gets affected.
The amount of damage that is going to happen is not just physical.
It's spiritual and this
spiritual as well.
Dark.
Going back to the idea of herbal medicines being more in the East, I believe that's because these sciences existed and they grew and they flourished in the East.
These
sciences... Originally, they flourished in India and China. In the Western world back then, they had no medicine. Like, if you go and look at it, it's a joke.
Yeah,
like, they would tell people to eat like feces of animals and I don't know, mud. They had like witchcraft and weird pagan stuff. They had no sense of science.
I know.
It's the Eastern world that did have that sense. What happened in today's world? We're still supposed to have that sense, but for some reason, we're going backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we going backwards? Those people, like the Abu Sinas and those Abusina, great personalities, they were always thinking ahead. They weren't thinking, oh, what did my ancestors used to do?
I think because we have prejudice over these signs of the past that we had, these traditional techniques that are, I think some of them are expired. We have to omit them completely from the this medical world, unfortunately. But we don't want to do that because we think always that some old methods, you know, are better than new things. But I think always trying new things, new methods, and so on.
On a positive
at least, way. At least, will be an experience.
Exactly.
We will understand to do that or not to do that.
I think we have to shed some positive light here as well. There are some really good things. You reminded me of, like, for example, hijama.
Yeah,
hijama is actually, it has been recommended in so many ahadith.
Which
they can't
is, can you explain that?
Bloodletting, it's basically where tiny little cuts are made on
first they
a
have to do
body.
Something in a way that the skin gets tumid
with
blood.
With blood, yeah, exactly.
And then they cut it, a small cuts, they create a small cuts on the skin.
Yeah.
And
of course, it's not harsh and it's not going to hurt.
The idea is to extract the deoxygenated blood so that the body resupplies itself with new, fresh blood.
It's just like donating blood in another way.
It's not that extreme, though.
You know,
donating blood would actually make you feel dizzy. And,
exactly.
But hijama actually doesn't do anything like that. Yeah.
Donating blood. Hijama does somehow.
But this does have lots of ahadith about it, and it is recommended, and it does have benefits.
Yeah, and it works. I have seen so many people that they are very much satisfied
and
with it.
And they do that.
What else works? There must be other things like that we don't know about.
Yeah, herbal teas, you know? The most common one is the herbal tea. That
chamomile tea does wonders. I mean, that puts me to sleep straight away. That makes me relax.
Yeah.
I have an auntie who is always freaking out. She's always worrying. And she's like, oh, should I go for these pills? Should I go for these pills or those pills?
Why aren't they just like this?
I told you, every
because
family
Because
they're
aunties. This is the point.
I said, listen. Just have some chamomile tea, you'll be fine. And she tried it, and she was like, oh, I feel so relaxed. I was like, there you go.
So we should actually note on this very fact that not all the herbal remedies are bad.
Of course.
You know?
No.
We should use our brain, go for the best methods, and then don't do it overly. You know, we shouldn't do it overly.
Just
in a
don't
way
recommend
that goes
other
so
people
excessive.
To do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's your own special way of being healed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it doesn't work on the other bodies.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the point, I think. We have to consider the point that all the bodies are different.
Yeah, and of course we have it in herbal medicine. They have a special sort of knowledge about the body
exactly.
of each person. So it also should be under the notice of a specialist, someone who knows about it. You can't do it on your own.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
There are some remedies that they give to special diseases, even cancer.
And I'm against that.
And they can, I just have heard, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know you've heard that. And I've heard it too.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they give some, I don't know, herbal things to some people, like they have cancer. And it's like, it's useless.
Yeah.
You're just, I don't know, putting a heavy cost on that.
There's some things that modern medicine cannot cure. Like literally it's stated clearly and categorically. That we have, like the asthma example. For example, IBS. There is no cure for IBS, and doctors don't even know why it happens. They can't figure it out.
The root of all of them is a stress, of course. That's why
perhaps,
it cannot be solved.
But
I actually, for these kinds of things, which modern medicine yet has not discovered, inshallah, in the future, the pioneers of the medical world in among the Muslims, they will figure it out. But until then, you know, we should look for other solutions, because I did find some solutions among the herbal medicines.
Yeah, that's very true. But even in herbal medicines, we have some good remedies for IBS.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would work.
Let me tell you an interesting fact. It's not all about remedies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's about the way you think about healing, the effect of that remedy.
That's
that
very
your
true.
Body.
Yeah, that's very true. And I guess to summarize what we were talking about in here about today's topic, I would say do not go for extremes. If you are going to go for herbal medicine, then try to go for the best specialists.
Yeah.
If you are going to go for chemical medicine, then you shouldn't do it by yourself. You should go for the specialist as well. So it's all about the way you think, and don't pin all your hopes on these drugs.
If you don't have the knowledge, go for the knowledgeable person.
Yeah, that is very true. And inshallah, Allah will cure all of us.
Inshallah.
It's in His hand, of course. So thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us until another session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again, let us see daylight again, once again.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Rabbana
Supplication is the wealth of the believer.